Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We pray that you're inspired by the teaching of the Word of God from Pastor Tyson Coughlin. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Vision Church and would like to support our ministry, you can do so by going to visionchurch.com and then selecting the Give tab. We want to thank you for checking in today. And now please prepare your heart for the Word of God.
I want to take a second really quickly to introduce the new series that we're beginning this weekend called Shattered. And throughout this series, we're going to be talking to you about how God can take the broken areas of our life and he can assemble them into something absolutely beautiful. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 is one of my favorite passages in all of the Bible. And it says that God has made all things beautiful in his time. All things includes the mess that you're facing right now. All things includes the mess that you're ashamed of in your past. God has a way of working together for your good every single thing that the enemy meant for your destruction. And what Satan brought in like a flood to destroy you, God will ultimately turn it around and use it to refine you, to redirect you and restore your life. So you can't lose for winning, because in Jesus Christ, the victory is sealed. Can I get a witness of that in here? We can't lose for winning. We can't even help it, because Jesus has already won the victory. He is immensely powerful and glorious. And I know it's cliche to say these things, but it takes on a whole nother level when you're actually living in a shattered place, in a broken state in your life. So I want to take a moment like I do every week, and that's to glorify the name of Jesus above every other name. This morning, we're gathered to lift up one name, not a personality, not anything else. It's about Jesus Christ, and he is the one to receive the glory from this church, all right? I want to tell you a story. When I was in middle school, I was a little bit of a tyrant, okay? I was a little bit of a wild child, all right? Any wild children in here, you can admit that you are a wild child. You're a little hard to handle. Your mom wanted to, like, beat you all the time, if you believe in that. But anyway, I remember very vividly one summer in our backyard, my mom on this patio had a statue of an angel, all right? It was like this stone carving angel, and it had these beautiful wings and a little halo over its head, and she loved this thing, all right? I have no idea why, but she, like, was emotionally attached to this angel, all right? And I was playing wiffle ball in the backyard, okay? And I wound up and launched this wiffle ball as hard as I could. And you know, wiffle balls are a little bit hard to control because they got all the holes in them. And so when you throw it, they kind of do this thing, because I'm very accurate. Okay, so don't read this the wrong way. So I threw the wiffle ball and it goes directly into the angel, hits it like right below the halo, sends it off the patio, crashing down onto the concrete, and it shatters into a million pieces. Now, my little sister was also a witness to this, and the look on her face said it all. When that angel crashed, she was like, it was like, oh, I know you didn't just do what you just did, because she knows that this is a big deal, all right? And so that angel is like broken into like 100 pieces. And so my immediate reaction is to try to cover it up, to hide it, to act like it didn't really happen. So I was like, Taylor, quick, come on, let's find some super glue, duct tape, whatever it is. Let's put this angel back together. This angel's going to get his wings back, all right? And so I try to reconstruct the angel from all the shattered pieces, and it's to absolutely no avail. I mean, this thing is broken beyond repair, all right? So when that doesn't work, I just resort to hiding it. Like, let's just, like, throw it over in the corner of the yard behind the tree where nobody will ever look for it. And so, you know, I'm feeling guilty, had this guilty conscience. And then later that day, when we're hanging around my mom, my little sister rats me out. And she's like, Mom, you're not going to believe what he did. He broke your angel and shattered it into a million pieces, and now it's destroyed. It's hiding in the back corner of the yard. Anybody got younger siblings or older siblings? You know how it is, right? But it's human nature to hide broken things. It's human nature to try to fix broken things and try to present them like nothing ever happened. It's human nature, even in our own life, The areas that are broken, the areas that are shattered and in shambles, we try to repair them. We try to present ourselves as though nothing is wrong. We smile through the pain. We try to press on and persevere anyway, acting like everything is great. And ultimately, we hide the areas of brokenness in our life. We try to hide broken things. I remember in my living room, we used to use my living room as a storage unit for our church back in the early days, okay? And I was carrying one of these trusses through my living room and knocked over a vase, and it just went boom, and just the front of it chipped. And I remember that I had the genius idea that I would just turn that vase just around to the back so that everybody who visited my house would still think that it was whole. And isn't that funny how we'll do that with our vase because we don't want to project brokenness. We don't want to project our imperfections. And with our life, we do the very same thing. We're afraid that if we show ourselves for who we really are, we're afraid that if we really are honest with ourselves and others about the condition that we're in, we're worried that we'll be judged, we'll be rejected and outcast. And in our life, the most dangerous thing you can do with the broken places of your life is to try to hide it and act like everything is okay. Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 25, Jesus had something to say about this. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first see the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like a whitewashed tomb. You're beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, you are filled with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurities. Outwardly, you look righteous to people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. I mean, you know, Jesus is seeker friendly. He tells you just what you want to hear, right? No, Jesus was in some people's face, y'all, because he understands that the truth is the only thing that has the power to set you free. I would be doing you a disservice if I just came in here every Sunday to make you feel good, happy, get your fix, and then leave the same. The truth is that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts and it divides asunder the soul from the spirit. And that pain, that revelation that is painful of your own life is really the beginning of healing that takes place within you. So the word of God, it cuts, but it doesn't cut to kill. It cuts to mend and bring healing. But Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you're broken. You're broken and you're filthy. But on the outside, you want to project that you're whole and that you're righteous. Inside, you're full of wickedness and self-indulgence, lust, pride, arrogance, and the list could go on and on. But on the outside, you dress in the finest garments. You adorn yourself with the ornaments of the high priest. You walk with your shoulders back and your nose in the air. And by looking at you, we would think that you are holy. We would think that you are righteous. We would think that you have your life all together. But the truth is that the image of the invisible God, the one who is present at the foundations of the world, was the one speaking into their life. And he's saying to the Pharisees, I can see what men cannot see. I can see what you're hiding. And I can see the shattered and the broken, tormented places in your heart. And as long as you try to act like everything is okay, you will never experience the healing that you so desperately need in your life. Religion tells us to project perfection. Religion emphasizes the outward appearances. I know you've probably heard of some churches or been to some churches where if you dress in jeans or a hoodie, you might get looked at like you're a little bit strange. All right? Religion is about the outward appearances. And I believe that people, and I believe even the Pharisees, had the best of intentions. They wanted to represent God. They wanted to point people to God. But in their pursuit of religion, they became more affected with how they appeared before men than who they really were inside. And it is human nature to hide the broken areas of our life. It's human nature to cover up the areas in our life that are broken and shattered. Religion tells you to look the part, talk the part, act the part, talk the Christian lingo, smile even when it hurts. Make it everything look like you're okay, because we think that we project strength when we project wholeness. When we look like we have it together, we think that we're projecting strength. But Jesus sees us in a much different light. We're afraid to express how we really feel because we run the risk of being an outcast. How many of you know sometimes Sunday morning is the most dangerous place to really admit your struggles? Sometimes Sunday morning can be the most difficult place for you to just be real with who you really are, for fear of being judged or condemned or being looked at differently or being asked to step down or being called an outcast. So the Pharisees acted whole when inside they were really broken. They acted righteous when inside they were really far from it. And so long as we act whole, we'll never become whole. So long as you try to portray an image, you'll never become it. This, I know you probably heard the term, fake it till you make it, doesn't work in the spiritual realm. Doesn't work. What will happen if you fake it till you make it in the church is you will grow weary, your burden will increase, you'll burn out, and you'll quit, and you'll think, and you'll convince yourself that the gospel is powerless. You'll say, well, I tried it, and it didn't work for me. But see, that's just the problem. It's not about you trying. It's not about you projecting wholeness and righteousness. It's not about you striving through human effort and achievement to be acceptable before God. It's not about you acting it. It's not about you putting it out there. It's about you surrendering to the one who can transform you and the one who truly can be made strong in your weakness. Christianity isn't about human effort. It's about surrender and allowing God to fill the broken places of our life. As long as you act whole, you will never be whole. You can't do it. And I'm going to tell you something. There is a reason that we hide our shame. There is a reason that we hide our guilt. There's a reason that we hide the broken places of our life. And that is because we live in a culture that deems broken things as worthless. We throw away things that are broken. The vase that is chipped, most sane people would have probably tossed it in the dumpster. If your iPhone cracks, well, you might get that fixed, but you're going to definitely throw away the screen. You are going to throw away anything that is broken. We live in a culture that broken means that it is worthless. If it's broken, it's ugly. If it's broken, it's not valuable. If it's broken, it should be thrown away. And so when we look at the reflection of our own life and we see our mistakes and we see our sins and we see the brokenness within, we often see ourselves in that very same light. That we're worthless, that we don't measure up, that we don't have what it takes. We convince ourselves that nobody else struggles like I do. Nobody else wrestles with the same thoughts and the same pain that I do. We begin to convince ourselves that it's only us. And when we see our broken condition, we convince ourselves that we're not worth anything. That's why we have a hard time believing that God could love us in our current state. We live in a culture and a world that throws away broken things. Religion throws away broken people. That's why Jesus came to turn religion on its head. He came to throw out the money changers in the temple. He was totally countercultural. Religion says if you don't measure up, you're not good enough, you don't belong, you're worthless. Religion throws away people who are broken. You don't believe it? The Gospels tell it. The woman who was caught in the act of adultery, what did the Pharisees do? Did they run and throw their arm around her and encourage her and show her that there's a better way of living, that there's hope? No. They threw her in the middle of a field and decided to stone her. And Jesus knelt down in mercy and compassion because Jesus could see value that nobody else could see. Jesus saw a worth that religion could not see. And he knelt down and he drew with his finger a line in the ground. And he said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Religion throws away broken people. Jesus runs to them. And I want you to know that broken people are not worthless people. They'll not be thrown away here. We don't value broken things. We hide our flaws, smile, make everybody think everything is okay when inside we're really dying and inside we're really hurting. We appear to be happy and full of life, but inside we're slowly, slowly dying. We are acutely aware of the flaws within our own life, even the flaws that nobody else can see. And the truth is that life is fragile. Life is fragile. Relationships are fragile. Your marriage is fragile. Your feelings, emotions, life is fragile. It's easy to be broken. It's easy to be hurt and wounded. But many people in our world today hide our brokenness behind medication. They hide their brokenness behind overstimulation, being busy, busying themselves. And all the while, through the self-medicating and the overstimulating, we really are running from our brokenness. We're running from our flaws. We're running from who we really are. We hide our brokenness behind social media. We post only the pictures where our hair is fly and our makeup is right. I don't wear makeup, but you know what I'm saying. We project wholeness. We project perfection. We want people to think that we're more than what we really are. And all the while, we hope that deep down, we'll even believe it about ourselves. We're hiding behind the busyness of life, hiding behind social media, hiding behind appearances, hiding behind drugs and alcohol and everything else that you can name it. There's a million things that we hide our brokenness behind. And some people, hear me, some people spend their entire life running from who they really are. Some people spend their entire life running from their brokenness. Running from the issues in their life. But I promise you one thing. You can never outrun your brokenness. You can never hide it and be whole. You cannot be whole through projecting a front. You cannot be whole by running from the vacancies in your life. It will not satisfy. And by the way, just FYI, we're all broken. We are all broken. You, me, and everybody in between. There's not one person in this room today that's not broken. But those who can't see and realize they're broken are actually the most broken. The people who would fold their arms and say, well, I'm good. I'm really good. Nothing wrong with me. I'm good. You are the most broken of all. The first step to healing and the first step to being made whole is the awareness of your condition. If you can never admit where you are, God can never deliver you from there. If you can't first repent of where you've been, how in the world is he going to transform you? There first must be the acceptance and the admittance and the sobriety of where you really are. The Pharisees are the ones who couldn't see their brokenness. The Pharisees looked down at the woman in adultery. The Pharisees looked down at Zacchaeus. The Pharisees looked down at broken people and threw them away, thinking that they were righteous, thinking that they were whole, and that they had it all together, and that the world should be more like them. When you can't see your own brokenness, you're in the most danger. Turn with me to Psalm 34, verse 18. But Jesus turned that way of thinking upside down. He flipped the script on the Pharisees, and what he taught was completely countercultural. Because Jesus didn't throw away broken people. He welcomed them just as they are. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Did you hear that? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He draws near to the crushed and to the broken, to the lives who are shattered. The Lord is near. When everybody else looks at your brokenness and tries to distance themselves from you as though to not be associated with you or as though to be better or highly exalted than you are, Jesus, when everybody else runs away, Jesus runs to you. Jesus loves us in our brokenness, for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love is perfect. His love is stronger than your sin. His love is stronger than your shame and your iniquity and all of your mistakes and your past accumulated together cannot outdo the perfect love of Jesus Christ and who he is. And if you're thankful for his love, you ought to bless him like you mean it. Lord, we love you and we worship you. It's one thing for somebody to love you at your best, but it's a whole nother type of love for somebody to love you at your worst. And I'm come today with some good news that although we're all broken and we're all shattered in secret internal areas of our life, he has seen us at our lowest and he loves us still. Even in our imperfections, he loves you. What an awesome God. What a great love. Most people, if they saw who you really were, they'd run. I know you would from me. You'd run away from me, but Jesus runs into my brokenness. He said, I'm near to the broken. Jesus taught us that it's okay to not be okay. I know you haven't heard that in church probably ever. But Jesus taught us that it's actually okay to not be okay. You say, where's that in the Bible? The whole thing. Jesus, the whole thing. But if you're looking for a more direct verse, Jesus said, come to me as you are. Come to me as you are. Broken, shattered, addicted, lonely, depressed, angry, vindictive, unforgiving, bitter. Come to me just the way you are. Jesus, at Jacob's well, the woman with five lovers, he didn't kick her to the curb and be like, go fix yourself. He was near to the broken. He was near to that woman. He embraced her. Zacchaeus, the tax collector who was robbing people blind, the Pharisees had thrown him away, and Jesus received him just as he was. The woman with the issue of blood that was hemorrhaging for 12 years, pressing through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment, he turns around and he doesn't expel her or throw her away. He says, woman, your faith has made you well. He taught people that it's okay to be where you are. It's okay to not be okay. And the reason he says that isn't to leave us in our broken state, but it's because he understands that the first step to healing is the admittance and the surrender of where we are. Turn with me to Isaiah 53:3. I'm not going to preach super long this morning, so don't get nervous. Isaiah 53, 3. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion and crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. And all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid upon him the sins of us all. Jesus taught us in Isaiah 53 that the way to becoming whole is to be broken. I don't know if you caught it. Look at the end of verse 5. He was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. Watch right here. He was beaten so that we could be made whole. That word beaten can mean broken, shattered, dismantled, bruised. It literally means he was bruised. And bruising is the breaking apart of the blood vessels, the brokenness. He was broken so that we could be made whole. And he understands that the way for us to truly be made whole is to not deny that we're broken, but it's to accept where we actually are. The way to become whole is to be broken. Before God will ever do something through you, he must first do something within you. And his brokenness makes us whole. I don't know if you're tracking with the words coming out of my mouth right now. I don't know if you catch the power of Isaiah 53, but it says that our iniquities, our mistakes, our transgressions were laid upon him. His body was broken. It was tattered into an unrecognizable mass. The Bible says that when you looked upon him, you could not even recognize him. He had been beaten that severely. He was broken so that we could be made whole. It's not just talking about your salvation, but it's talking about being whole in every aspect of your life, being well, being restored, being pieced back together in every avenue of your existence. It is not our job to project righteousness. It is not our job to project wholeness. It is our job to open up and let him do the rest. That's way better than you're letting on. And it's not, listen, when you clap at this church, you are not clapping for me. I don't deserve your applause. But the word of God deserves our response. It deserves the cry and the rejoicing of the earth that all you have to do to be restored is to open up and let him do what only he can do. You say, well, that sounds fluffy and that sounds spiritual. You're welcome. It's called supernatural. It doesn't make sense to you. It's not supposed to. But his promise is that I will make you whole. But you've got to open up to me. You've got to stop acting like your life is perfect. You've got to stop acting like you've got it all together. And you've got to let it. You've got to be okay with being who you are. And it is okay to admit when you're not okay. It is okay to be broken, because from the ashes and from the brokenness, I will make you into something beautiful. Because see, I'm just trying to preach to somebody right now. If you really believe Isaiah 53, if it becomes, I am so sick of just going to church and just leaving the same. If you really believe Isaiah 53, he was broken so that you could be made whole. If you really believe that, all you've got to do is open up and be who you are and trust him to do the changing, him to do the transforming. I will be made whole through his brokenness. Turn with me one more place. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Before I read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I want to tell you about an artist by the name of Sandra Shayshow. And if you can, I want you to look at this. Sandra is a world-renowned artist. And what she does is she takes broken things, broken china, broken plates, and what everybody else would throw away, she finds value there. And her whole career, her whole style of art, is to take things that are broken and to rearrange them into a masterpiece. Not just restoring the items to their previous value, but making them exceedingly more valuable than they were before. I want you to read this. Listen. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things as he planned for us long ago. We are God's masterpiece, and he has created us anew in Jesus Christ, meaning that he has taken the broken, and let's go back to Sandra's art piece and let's just leave it there, meaning that he has taken the broken places of our life and he has made it something beautiful. Sandra takes broken things and she doesn't hide them. She actually rearranges them and puts them on display right out in the open for all to see the masterpiece that she has created. She finds value in the things that culture would throw away. And Jesus, when he looks at your life, there is value in your brokenness. If you will surrender it to him, he will rearrange you into his masterpiece, making you anew into his image and likeness. Listen, you will not give God glory by hiding your brokenness in your life, by being ashamed of who you used to be and the life that you used to live. What good is a lamp if it's under a basket? You've got to open it up and let it be on display. Revelation 12 says this: we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. When you open up your mouth and you open up your life and you admit to people openly the struggles and the shame and the brokenness of your life and how Christ has rearranged it for his glory and for his good, then and only then are you the masterpiece that displays his glory for all of the world to behold. And if you're thankful, you ought to give him praise that he makes us into his masterpiece. I want to read to you one quote in closing this morning from Picasso, the famous artist. And he said this: all creativity is based on destruction. The metamorphosis of one thing into another. The end of one entity or state out of which another emerges. My God, that is profound. All creativity is based on destruction. The destroying and former passing away of what was and a new state emerging from it. And that, my friends, is the message of the gospel. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why don't you stand with me all over this place? Lord, we love you and we worship you and we bless your mighty name. Thank you that you're a God who loved us at our worst. You love us in our brokenness, and you came and turned the tide and told us that it's okay to not be okay. And from our brokenness, you and only you can make us whole. We can hide behind medication. We can hide behind a busy schedule. We can hide behind social media and appearances if we want to, but none of that will truly do. And as long as we run from our brokenness, we'll never be made whole. We'll never be okay with who we are. But Lord, thank you that you are such a good God that you invite us to come to you just as we are. And you don't shun us or turn us away, but you receive us into your loving arms. And for that, God, we will forever be grateful. We love you and we bless your mighty name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. This morning, as we continue in worship, these altars are open. The prayer corner is available in the back. If you're just broken this morning, I just want to invite you at these altars to just come and lay your life before him. Just bring the broken pieces of your life that maybe nobody else sees, and just come and bring them and lay them at his feet today as an offering, a sacrifice of praise, saying, God, take this broken vessel and make something beautiful out of it. Let's worship in this place.